Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Collins Foods 2015 half-year results presentation. At this time, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. We'll be joined today by Mr. Russell Tate, Chairman, and Mr. Graham Maxwell, Chief Executive Officer. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Graham Maxwell. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thanks, David. Good morning, guys. I'm pleased to report Collins Foods results for the first half of the financial year ended the 12th of October 2014. Our EBITDA is up 37.6% to 29.4 million due to the improved operating performance of KFC. Revenue is up 29.6% to 256.7 million. This is driven by the KFC Western Australia Northern Territory acquisition, strong comps for KFC in both the West and Queensland, a pre-tax non-cash impairment charge of 36.5 million was booked in the half. This comprises 35.9 million in relation to the Sizzler Australia business and 600,000 in relation to KFC Queensland. While the company recorded a statutory net loss of 22.9 million, on an underlying basis, net profit, so excluding the impairment, was up 43% to 10.7 million. EBIT at an underlying level was up 49% to 19.5 million. Net cash flow declined 3.8 million due to timing and changes in the tax payments made in the previous half. The balance sheet continues to remain strong with a net debt of 131.7 million and the net leverage ratio improving to 2.14. An interim fully franked dividend payout of 0.05, representing an increase in 11.1% against prior year dividend. As a whole, Collins Foods had a strong first half. Expanding on the impairment, while the second quarter performance for Sizzler has shown relative improvement in the top-line sales as a result of the various Get Refreshed initiatives being implemented to date, the overall revenue for the first half of the year for Sizzler Australia was below expectations. As a consequence, the board has revised down the forecast for Sizzler Australia. As a result of the revised forecast for this business, a pre-tax non-cash impairment charge of 35.9 million for Sizzler Australia was booked at the half year. This impairment charge does not have any impact on the Sizzler Asia business. It also does not have any impact on Collins Foods' funding covenants or the payment of dividends. Despite the pre-tax non-cash impairment charge, the Sizzler Australia business is cash flow positive and is expected to generate a positive contribution to the group at an EBITDA level for the current financial year. Moving to slide two, from an operational perspective, starting first with KFC. KFC has seen good sales growth across Queensland of 6.8% and across Western Australia Northern Territory of 3.7%. This growth is underpinned by comps of 3% in Queensland and 4.3% in the West, as well as the opening of three new restaurants. A further 13 restaurants were remodeled in the half, 10 major remodels and three minor. There has been a continued focus on the margin improvement, with labor efficiency and productivity initiatives being the key driver in delivering an improved Queensland EBITDA margin. A range of efficiency and productivity measures that have been previously implemented in Queensland are being rolled into the West, and we are starting to see solid margin improvements. From a Sizzler perspective, the operational focus on Sizzler Australia has been on rolling out the Get Refreshed initiatives across the system. The last of these initiatives was rolled out in mid-November. Get Refreshed is an internal initiative designed to return Sizzler Australia to positive revenue growth. While Q2 sales were still negative at -5.5%, there was an improvement over Q1, which we believe in part can be attributed to the start of the rollout of Get Refreshed. In addition to Get Refreshed, we have also remodeled the front of house of three Sizzler restaurants, Cleveland, Caboolture, and Mermaid Beach. They are all trading positive to prior years. Both of these initiatives, the Get Refreshed initiative and the front of house remodeling, are starting to have positive impact on Sizzler Australia's performance. Sizzler Asia continues to perform well, with revenue up 8.4% in the half. In reference to Snagstand, work is continuing on the development and the refinement of the concept. The Macquarie Centre stand opened in June and has since traded strong. A new stand in Sunshine Plaza up in Maroochydore is under construction and will be open in mid-December. Moving now to the specifics of the brands on page four. KFC has had a strong half with the revenue growth up 6.8% and commas up 3%. Three new restaurants, Victoria Point, Yamanto and Brisbane Airport, were opened in the first half. Focus on improved labour efficiencies and productivity continued during the half, helping to deliver a 17% EBITDA margin. EBITDA in dollar terms is up 27.8% on prior year to $27.7 million. KFC Queensland is lapping a favourable advertising spend in the half, as prior year there was more weighting given to the front half of the year. While this year we have reverted back to an even balance across the year. This accounts for around 100 base points of the 260 base point margin gain. An impairment charge of $600,000 against KFC Valley Metro and KFC MacArthur Central was booked in the half. Moving to slide five, KFC Western Australia and Northern Territory had a good half, with revenue up 3.7% and comps up 4.3%. Four restaurants have been remodeled in the half, two major and two minor. The reason revenue growth is lower than comps is due to the temporary closure of some stores during the remodel construction works. A further two remodels have been completed post the half, and our first new restaurant in Western Australia, Rockingham Beach, was opened last week on the 18th of November. A significant amount of work has gone into improving the product quality and the customer experience across the system. In addition, there's also been a considerable focus on the rollout of various labour and cost of sale improvements. The EBITDA margin for the half at 10.1% is a very positive outcome. This is up on approximate 9% EBITDA margin on the prior year to purchase. The various improvement initiatives will continue to be entrenched over the remainder of the year. Moving to slide six, overall the new product promotions for the half were solid. With the introduction of a number of new products, the standout was the relaunch of the burgers led by the Zinger Stacker. This product was exceptionally well received by our customers. The One Box was a great promotion that saw good impact to the ticket and resonated well with the Big Eat consumers. Value plays are still an important part of our overall offer as we compete with our competitors in a tough economic environment. Given the permanent $9.95 offer and the regular interplay of the $5 box and the $2 menu, we have previously presented and taken the decision to remove all discount couponing from our promotional calendar. While this has an impact on sales, we gain on the bottom line. We continue to trial breakfast and have expanded the trial to include a couple of drive-throughs. We are pleased with the way breakfast is progressing. The brand activity behind KFC is positively improving the strength of the brand. The hashtag HCG Summer Cricket campaign has kicked off to the start of a big summer of cricket. Moving to slide seven, the capex spend for KFC in the half was around $13.3 million. There were three new builds, 10 major remodels and three minor remodels. All three new builds opened the half were in Queensland, so Victoria Point, which is southeast of Brisbane, BAC, which is an external to the Brisbane Airport, and Yamanto, which is south of Ipswich. Two additional restaurants are currently under construction, one in Caboolture and one in Ormo, which is at the top of the Gold Coast, and both will be open by mid-December. There were no new restaurant openings in the half in Western Australia, but since then, Rockingham Beach has opened on the 18th of November. There were two other restaurants progressing through the DA process, and while construction will most likely start in the back half of our financial year, they will not open for trade until early in our FY16 financial year. To date, six remodels, four major and two minors have been completed in Perth. Two of the majors have been completed post the half, and there will be a further one major remodel in the current financial year. We are anticipating that our full-year capex will be in the region of $29 million and down roughly on $2 million that we presented at the full year. Slide 8 and 9 showcase some of the new and remodeled restaurants across Queensland and Western Australia. The latest format and design is much more contemporary, as we've used the services of an interior designer to create a more relaxed and inviting internal space. Moving our attention to Sizzler, on page 11, Sizzler is still in the transition phase. The operational focus of the last 6 months or so has been on rolling out the Get Refreshed initiatives across Sizzler Australia. The last of these initiatives was rolled out in mid-November. Get Refreshed is an internal initiative designed to return Sizzler Australia to a positive revenue growth. From the chart, you'll be able to see that while Q2 sale comps were still negative at 5.5%, there was a marked improvement over Q1. This, we believe, in part can be attributed to the start of the rollout of Get Refreshed. In addition to Get Refreshed, we have also remodeled the front of house of 3 Sizzler restaurants with positive results. Sizzler Cleveland, which at 21 weeks post this remodel is recording around a 12% year-on-year sales growth, while Caboolture at 5 weeks post this remodel is trading around 16%. Mermaid Beach, which was reopened on the 30th of October, and while trading positive, is too early to call. As can be seen from these operational results, both the Get Refreshed initiative and the front of house remodeling are starting to have a positive impact on Sizzler Australia's performance. The photos on slide 12 will give you a sense of the changes in the new front of house design. The new design creates a fresh and contemporary look and feel, and one that we believe will allow us to re-engage with our customers. Moving to slide 13, Sizzler Australia sales comps for the first half are down 8.4% on prior year. This result is below expectation, and as a consequence, the board has revised down the forecast for Sizzler Australia. As a result of the revised forecast for this business, a pre-tax non-cash impairment charge of $35.9 million for Sizzler Australia has been booked at the half year. This impairment charge does not have any impact on the Sizzler Asia business. It also does not have any impact on Collins Foods' funding covenants or payment of dividends. Despite the pre-tax non-cash impairment charge, the Sizzler Australian business is cash flow positive and is expected to generate a positive contribution to the group at an EBITDA level for the current financial year. Earlier this year, we confirmed that a strategic review of Sizzler would be undertaken by management and the board post the summer season. We need to see how the brand trades through the summer period to get a better understanding of the sustainability of the Get Refreshed initiatives. Both management and the board are fully committed to finding the best outcome for Sizzler. Slide 15, Sizzler Asia has had a positive half, with revenue up 8.4% over the previous half. One new restaurant was opened and one closed in China. A couple of restaurants are planned to open the remainder of the year in China and Thailand. Moving to the overall financial performance of Collins Foods on slide 17, the net operating cash flow before interest and tax is around $4 million up on prior year. Income tax paid, this is over and above normal trading, has increased on prior year due to two main factors. Firstly, the income tax installment rate was lower in the previous years due to lag effects of the IPO. And secondly, in the prior first half, there was a delay in payment of tax. Collectively, this impacted cash by about $4 million. CapEx spend is up $4 million on the prior half, but for the full year, it is expected to come in slightly under the FY15 budget. Overall, the net cash flow is down 3.8%. Strong cash flows are enabling an interim fully franked dividend of 5 cents per share, up 11.1% on the previous half. Moving to slide 18, in March of this year, we increased our overall debt facility to $175 million, up from $145 million to fund the KCWA Northern Territory acquisition. At half year, the net debt was $131.7 million, up from $127.4 million at the previous full year. The net difference has broadly been accounted for on the previous slide that discussed cash flows. We are confident that we will end the year with a net debt below $130 million. Our net leverage ratio has improved to 2.14. Overall, we are operating comfortably within all our covenants. Our balance sheet remains strong. Key adjustments are the impact of the $33.4 million post-tax and impairment charge, an increase in PP&E by $2.4 million, reflecting new restaurants and remodels, partially offset by depreciation and a small decline in cash. Moving now to slide 20, this is a new slide that we put in our deck. Post the full year release, there was some confusion around our overheads and the percentage of revenue they represented it. As you will see, as you'll be aware, there are two classifications for presenting annual interim reports, function or nature. Collins Foods accounts apply the function classification. The half-year administration expenses are presented in slide 20. As you can see, the administration classification includes, amongst others, the overheads. The management reporting allocation of 11.4 million represents our true overheads, which is 4.4% of sales. There's a further 994,000 of restaurant costs for long service leave and traineeships that are actually store-based costs, but at Collins we choose to pull them out of the individual restaurant P&Ls as they can significantly distort them when bulk training occurs or when restaurant management are moved between restaurants. Further to overheads, there are a number of additional expenses that fall into the administration classifications. These represent a wide range of expenses, including depreciation and amortization associated with brands, software, and others. The bulk of the others relates to software costs in the restaurants. Collins employs its own maintenance technicians, and there are other administration consumables that are captured in this section. Note that the technicians and restaurant consumables are restaurant-based expenses and are actually reflected in the restaurant P&Ls. So Collins Foods overheads at the half are 4.4% of revenue. And finally, moving to slide 21 in terms of our priorities for the remainder of FY15. Returning Sizzler Australia to positive growth through Get Refreshed is a very high priority for us and one that has a lot of focus on within the business. And we will undertake a strategic review of Sizzler Australia post the summer campaign. There will be continued focus on improving KFC Western Australia and Northern Territory operational performance. We will build an additional two KFC restaurants and start construction of a further two. We will also continue to grow KFC's footprint and remodeled selected locations. We will also work on firming up of the snag stand concept and will continue to invest in the brand. A final note before I finish up and open for questions is that Collins Foods in FY15 has a 53rd week in its year. So, David, if I can open up to questions now.
Thank you, sir. And as a reminder to our audience, if you do wish to ask a question, you need to press 0 followed by 1 and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question will come from the line of James Ferrier from Wilson HDM. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, Graeme. Congratulations on the result. My first question is with respect to same-store sales growth in KFC in the second half. Can you just talk about some of the parameters that you're facing there? And by that I mean the prospect of cycling, the removal of coupons in the PCP. You're probably cycling period that had relatively weaker same-store sales growth. So I'm interested in your thoughts around same-store sales growth in the second half for KFC.
Thanks, James. In terms of the second half, there is no further coupons to lap. So that certainly we don't envisage any impact in terms of that. As you will have picked up from some of the weighting that we had prior year in terms of the advertising and our results we presented a full year, quarter four was down. So we do expect as we roll through the quarter four to claw back some of those sales. So I'm fairly comfortable given the product pipeline that Yum has in terms of the next 6 to 12 months that the comps should hold.
Okay, terrific. And then on the WA margin improvement, relative to the expectations at the time of the acquisition, has anything changed around the timing of getting that full uplift?
When we first came out, we said 200 base points over 3 years. We've probably got one base point at the moment. We probably need to wait until the full year to see if there's any changes in the timing. It's sometimes when you're changing some cultural behaviours at a store level, especially around labour, it can be two steps forward and one back. So I'd like to hold off until the end of the year before we revisit the timing on that.
Yep, sure. And with respect to, you mentioned the CapEx number there of $29 million. What are you expecting for your depreciation and amortization charge?
Generally it does go up slightly. As we get stuff rolling off, and we do get probably replaced with more, so it will go up slightly.
Yep. Okay. And then final question from me. In that slide you showed around the improvement of the Sizzler stores that have had the refresh, Cleveland and Caboolture. With respect to Cleveland in particular, given it's traded for 21 weeks, can you give us an understanding of the profile of the sales improvement over those 21 weeks? Has it been consistent? Did it shoot the lights out early on and tail off? What's the profile been like over that period?
Yes, certainly in the first 2 or 3 weeks of opening, it was up in the 20s. And it shot up in the early stages. And then it sort of settled down. So the 12% we believe is holding. It does have ups and downs, depending on various, local activities. But we're confident that it should hold above the 10.
Okay, terrific. Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, James.
And once again, if you do wish to ask a question, you'll need to press 0 followed by 1 and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question will come from the line of Dominique Rose from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Just interested in your view on the QSR market, I suppose competitive dynamics, what you're sort of seeing from competitors there and what your sort of near and medium term outlook is.
Hey Dominique. The QSR industry as a whole is growing, but probably not at the rate of its in prior years. But what we are finding it's a very mixed bag amongst the QSR players. Probably ourselves and Hungry Jack's and Subway's are sitting on the positive side, where by all accounts, from what we're reading in the press, Macca's are sitting on the negative side, along with a number of the other chains. So it really is mixed. Certainly at KFC, we've had some really strong product promotions and some innovative products that have come through. The cricket campaign is always strong for us. So I think off the back of that, we've been able to gain some market share through strong positioning. Hungry Jack's is playing more of a value game. They're very much in the $1 frozen carbonated and the $1 cheeseburger type place, which is what it does drive transactions, can hurt margins. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to follow up, if I may, just on the refurbs, can you maybe just comment on the kind of uplifts you're seeing? Or the returns on capital there, you know, are they sort of in line with the sort of more further back historic performance that you achieved? Maybe just sort of flesh that out a little bit.
Yes, certainly the margins are, the returns are improving. I mean, there's a couple of things in that. One is that we have employed the services of an interior designer to try and finish off the inside, to try and add some value to the customer experience. And certainly with those newer ones, we're seeing more people sit longer in the front of house and really do enjoy the environment more. The second one, obviously, as we push overall the margin improvements on a store basis, that does flow through and improve the returns. Have we got back to, pre-float? No, not back to those levels. But at the moment, we're comfortable that there is improvement.
All right, thanks. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dominic.
As there are no further questions in queue, I would now like to hand back to the call back to Graham. Please go ahead.
Well, thanks very much, guys. I know I'm meeting up with a number of you over the upcoming days, so certainly look forward to that, and we can sort of cover off more questions then. Thanks for your time, guys.